Welcome back. I just had a note pop in here from Nurse Anne. She says, transcribe this, it's a list of, I'll put it up in a few hours. The FDA was involved, oh, big surprise, huh, in the development of COVID-19 as an offensive biological viral warfare weapon at the UNC BSL-3 level. The Pentagon bought and paid for the toxic mRNA in vaccines and helped create COVID-19. All are guilty of Nuremberg crimes, murder, and conspiracy to commit murder. This is the biggest crime committed against humankind. 5.5 billion people, give or take, have been injected with this stuff, which now, at least apparently, across the board, reduces one's expected lifespan by 30 years. That's what they're expecting now. We're in that 3 to 5 year window for most. And they're getting sick, and they're dying. It's not even in the media. The mainstream media doesn't touch it, won't talk about it. We do. Who else is talking about it still? Virtually nobody. It's over. The pandemic is over. Oh, no, it's not over. Because the fallout from the bioweapon virus and the bioweapon injections have not slowed an iota. Someone who got injected 4 years ago now, Nurse Lindsay House, is still producing spike protein. It's the same level. Nothing new. She'll produce it for the rest of her life. So, again, nobody talks about these things. They're being misdirected into the most useless garbage on their smartphones that you could imagine. All right. We are going to talk to Sir Richard Allgaier. Or as some say, Allgaier, but it's really Allgaier.
It's because I have all the Geyer. I had a news director that called me Partial Geyer. He said, when you do well, we'll call you Allgaier, but for now, you're Partial Geyer.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
Spratling, all right. He was a guy that smoked a pipe. They smoked pipes in the newsroom, and they'd go out and drink scotch for lunch, you know, go out and have lunch. It was like madmen.
Yeah. I worked for one. I know. Same thing. Disgusting. Very difficult business because of they were basically alcoholics, and it's not easy working for an alcoholic. It isn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, now Dick just got back from another trip to the Mengele Clinic in South Korea to have more of his bone marrow extracted and allegedly reinserted into his own body. I'll trust him on that. But he's back, and he has lots of fun things to share with us tonight.
Yeah, wait till you hear this story. I haven't told you this one. I'm going to bust this one out on you. I almost missed your program, Jeff. I was just in my living room, in my dining room here at Ethereum Place. I made this big batch of bean soup with vegetables. It was like really good soup. I had a big salad, and I'm eating my salad.
You started to fall asleep, didn't you?
No, I was eating food, and I'm thinking, I got to do the Jeff Rentz program at 6 o'clock Hawaii time, so I'll eat now, and then I'll be be great. So I'm sitting down eating. I'm getting texts like, ding, my phone is texting. I go, who's texting me? And then I looked at the clock and I thought, let's see, it's 4 hours, 6 hours to the East Coast. You people need to stop with this on and off daylight savings time. Pick one.
Oh, it's terrible. I've hated it my whole life. Seriously. See, even as a child.
Because
I didn't
Hawaii
like it.
Just changed, Jeff.
No.
Interaction people on the mainland changes. Like I was in the winter time or the other time zones. I'm on at 6 o'clock my time with you. Right now it's ten or whatever.
No.
So I was
absurd.
Just about to enjoy my soup, and I almost missed your program. I did that one time about 6 or 7 months ago. I felt so bad. Anyway, and add to that, I was in Korea where it's 5 hours behind tomorrow. So in Korea, it's Tuesday at 12 noon. So I was just dealing with that, like having to do my business going, God, what day is yesterday? 7 hours, 5 hours in advance. Anyway, I'm here. It's good. So I go to the
have
Korea.
Have you looked into the face in photos or video of Kim's sister? That's a tough hombre.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un's sister.
Yeah.
Very tough.
You wouldn't want to cross her. Yeah, that would be...
No. Oh, no. No. She wouldn't even bother burying you. She'd just feed you to the dogs. Ugh, that's a tough one. Anyway, okay. So you're back again. And Dick did some fascinating things there. He taught a class in beginning remote viewing to some Korean kids, young men and young women, or young woman at least. Yeah, and then we have a flow chart of global power, which we can play. I think we probably should play that at some point. And
we'll get to that. This is a teaser.
Yeah.
I'll tell you things about the Pope, something about the Pope that no one else will tell you. And I have the real, like, how the world power structure works. And we'll do that in about 20, 30 minutes. We'll do the fun stuff first. So I have this neurologist in Korea that he took out our stem cells last September, and we went back to get some more put in.
Uh-huh.
And so we're there at the clinic.
No, wait. What you just said was confusing. He took out some stem cells last September, and we went back to have some more put in.
Okay. In September, we go there. They lay you down on a table, and two nice Korean nurses hold your head down and hold your arms down, basically.
There's a word for that. I won't go into it, but go ahead.
Yeah, they press you down so you can't jump. And the doctor pounds a needle into your hip bone, which is very pleasant. It's something like this, Jeff. Oh,
yeah.
Your bone is strong. Oh, your bone very strong. Oh, you're in now. And so he's literally, it does sound kind of like that. You can hear it tapping. He's pounding a needle into
you. That's cute. It vibrates throughout all of your skeletal structure, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I had a dentist appointment this week, which was 50 times worse than that. So it wasn't that bad. It's they hold you down. They tap it in. You feel it. Like a real profound ache in your hip for a minute, like, oh, that's a really deep ache. And he goes, okay, I'm extracting this now.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, okay, you're done, and it's over. It's a
How does he pronounce the word extracting?
I don't think he uses that. He says, Maro Chuseo. Something, I don't know, it's all in Korean. The guy speaks English. He doesn't, he's got some English. But he's one of the top neurologists there. So anyway,
when
I'm
you went back, though, my question is, did they withhold some of your stolen bone marrow last time you were there? And those stem cells, did they hold it over and put that in this time? Or did they, sounds like they went in and took some more out.
They didn't. They had it, they have a bank. And you bank your stem cells, and they somehow culture it. And I guess,
they never get the labels wrong. In other words, you've been complaining you're down to 5'6" now, but the labels were correct, right?
He comes out, and he has it in a bag, and he has your passport picture on it, and he holds it up and he says, you are Richard Allgaier, this is you. And you look at your passport and it's labeled, and he holds that up, goes, that's you, that's, I'm putting this in you. And okay, so somehow they culture it, and they, I don't know if they can expand it or it grows in the lab. I didn't quite get the I didn't quite.
You don't
get the
know
story
what they.
On.
That's interesting. Usually, you're right up on top of these things. Did they mix it with LSD and let it percolate for 6 months? What did they do?
Oh no, it was better than that. So I'm there, and the first thing they give you, you're sitting down, and you got an IV drip. So they put the thing in your arm, and he's got this bag of looks like Kool-Aid. It's kind of pinkish, reddish. I go, huh, what's that? They give you a vitamin injection, like super vitamin C, vitamin, what all the good vitamins are.
And see how scientific this program is, friends.
Yeah,
we nail it right down.
Well, I checked this guy out. He's a top neurosurgeon. He's written books. He's had peer review stuff. But that's a vitamin injection. I've done it here at Naturopaths.
Can you talk a little louder into your phone? Or, Todd, can you turn Richard up a little? He's a little bit low for me.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I have my good mic.
It's a little better.
I can turn my gain up.
It's okay.
Okay.
You're better.
So first they give you a vitamin injection.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C, vitamin B, folate, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And that drips in. That takes about 20 minutes. And then they come out. They present you with your marrow in a tube with a vial, an injection. I'm still coughing from what I picked up. Over there, you know,
yes. Do you have any Allison C?
I just took some, Jeff.
Good.
5-10 minutes ago. Right. That I purchased from you 2 months ago. So they do the drip, drip, drip of the stem cells. And then they come out, and I don't want to be critical of the clinic. They come out with these two bags. Mimi and I are side by side, and it looks like plasma. It's very blood colorish, and they put that in. I go, and I immediately, because of my remote viewing intuition, I had an uneasy feeling. I said, what's this? Oh, this is iron. This will make you Superman. This is really good. This is iron.
Oh, no, no.
So that's dripping in. And it
do you know, you got to be real careful about iron. In this environment, you don't want to OD on iron at all. Be real careful.
So he's dripping in iron, and okay, so that finishes. And it's time to head out, and we're going to go sit in his office, and we're walking down the hallway, but I can't walk. I'm real dizzy and real lightheaded, and my legs don't work. And they say, why are you limping? And I'm going, I am really not feeling well. I'm not good here. And I was obviously pale, and he said, let me take your blood pressure. And I said, my blood pressure is always 110 over 70. So they checked my blood pressure. It's about 280 over 235. It's like, oh, no, that's something wrong. And he says, are you having trouble breathing? I said, I wish you didn't ask me that. I'm now in a full-bore panic attack. I can't swallow. I can't breathe. And he goes, we got to get you back in. Let's come back here to lay you back down. And now I start shaking. I start my muscles, my legs and arms start twitching involuntarily. Like I could really stop it, but if I just wanted to be comfortable, I was just shaking uncontrollably. Now they're getting a little alarmed. Like I can tell they're, okay, what's going on here? Turns out I had an allergic reaction to the iron. It's one in, get this, 666 patients, and I was one of them. So I had a bad reaction. He gave me
Wait. Did you just tell me 666?
So he said, one in 666 people has this. It's not 666 sign of the devil anymore. Now it's two in 667. So
nice.
So yeah, I had a bad reaction, but other than that, I'm good. It was the
Dick. You could have died or had a stroke with 260 BP on the high end. You know all this. I don't want to. It could have killed you. Well, we know. We do. We know. Once in a while, we have problem, Mr. Allgaier, not lucky today. At Mengele Clinic, we care about everyone, but he not make it.
Mimi was holding me down to stop me from shaking. I looked at her. I said, "Hey, I love you very much." I thought that's my last minute. Ah! But I'm okay. I'm healthy.
Well, I hear you're okay. I get that. But man, come on.
Yeah.
Sorry, iron is not something to be messing with. I'm not saying everyone will have the same reaction.
I knew it intuitively. But that was dripping in. I go, this isn't good. I don't like this. I could. My intuition was telling me, no, don't do that. Don't do that. So, yeah, it was. But Korea's interesting.
you might say that. Jeez.
Yeah. Good time, good food, a lot of good food. Saw family.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's go back to the beginning. It's your second treatment, in that you almost died this time. We'll just put that aside for the moment. What benefits did you...
I had a little reaction. I don't think I almost died.
You had a little reaction. Your blood pressure might as well have been 1,000. 260 is that's fatal. Anyhow, all right. Now, that's not in your
case.
They
were a little concerned.
Yeah, I'll bet they... He's saying to the nurses, "You pay insurance last week? Our insurance pay?"
This is, when's the last time we lost one? So,
666 patients ago. It's easy. Hey, listen, did you get anything out of the first treatment, or did you just become kind of familiar and you like the experience of going there and having your hip bone addressed?
Well, I had a bad hip. Jeff, my left hip, I didn't break it, but I smashed it pretty good on a biking accident 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Bicycling.
And it was always, my hip was always stiff, and I had trouble walking right. I was like, hey, God, I'm not walking good. You know, I'm walking like an old man because my left hip always ached and was always stiff. And the first treatment, it went away. I have more muscle tone. Mimi says,
is that the hip that he invaded with the needle and the hammer?
Yeah. But then he gave an injection of the stem cell directly into the hip. And it worked. It really improved the hip. And so my hair...
Other than that, I'm very grateful to hear that. Other than that?
My hair was white. It's darker. No hair color. Mimi's face is smoother. It got rid of, you know, I mean, she's... looks very young for a 65-year-old.
She always looks like a teenager anyhow.
Come on, yeah, she looks really young. But, yeah, I feel better. It's worth it. I have more muscle tone. I'm stronger.
And so, no exercise.
Yeah, okay. No, I've been exercising. Well, I couldn't. Did I tell you the story of my toe last time?
No.
We'll get to the really interesting remote viewing and the flow chart.
We can do the toe. We'll get the toe.
We'll do the toe really, really quick. I cut my toe in, God, it must have been February.
Oh, that toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I went swimming in the ocean, and I got flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah, group A strep. Necrotizing fasciitis. Not good.
It just got bigger and bigger, and then it stopped getting bigger, but it didn't heal. And I was
you got cellulitis.
Yeah, I got cellulitis.
You're lucky it didn't go. If it went necrotizing fasciitis, your toe would have turned black and you wouldn't have it anymore. It'd be gone now.
Well, so human body is amazing because, and I had them inject stem cells into the toe, actually, because it helps healing. But it's now a 1 centimeter, it's a little tiny scab. I've got my, thumbprint, you know, fingerprints, my toe, it's all back. It grew back. It's okay. But I couldn't, I could not exercise. I went to a specialist who said, you're not letting this heal. No exercise, nothing. Don't wear a shoe. Don't put any pressure on it. Don't sweat. No exercise. Sit there with your foot up.
Who pegged it as necrotizing fasciitis, group A strep? Who caught that? You? or the specialist?
They
sounded like you didn't know.
No, they cultured it when I went in.
All right. Well, it's
but
clear.
The thing is, here's the problem. I went to the urgent care clinic, and then they said, "Well, we're going to refer you to a podiatrist." And I called the because I played phone tag with the hospital. I didn't get the podiatrist for like a week or so, and then finally got an appointment. And that's the specialist who knew what to do. She told me what to do with it. So anyway, it's better now. So those are my health issues.
Wow.
So I know this guy in Korea, this really nice young guy named Jinwoo Yu. And mm-hmm. Jinwoo Yu came to Hawaii about a year ago and wanted to meet me because he has a YouTube channel that looks at UFOs and, you know, all the interesting woo-woo stuff. And he really wanted to meet me. So I said, I'll go to dinner with you. And it turns out he was staying about half a block from my new place. So we went out and ate, and I did a YouTube segment with him. And I said, last time I went to Korea, I had dinner with him and his producer and his cameraman. Nice guy, and we got along. So I told him I'm coming back this latest trip. And he said, people would love to meet you. I want to hold an event. You teach remote viewing. I said, I can't teach remote viewing in one day. It's not possible, not even 1 week. But I'll do a seminar. I'll do an informational thing where I'll talk about remote viewing a little bit. I'll give them a little, like, test that they can do. And so the last day we were there, we met at a place. He turned away 50 people, and they had about 25, 30 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them a story. I said, and this is interesting, it takes guts to give these people a target with very little training. Like, and it's very possible that no one would. And I knew one or two would draw something like it, but it could have not gone well. So I told them, I started out by saying, "Do you dream?" Yeah, okay. We're translating this into Korean. I said, "When you dream, do you see someone you can recognize? Do you see a place you recognize in color?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "How does that happen? How do you do that if you're laying in your bed asleep with your eyes closed? No photons hit your optic nerve. Does that mean your brain can create images without actual imagery from your surroundings hitting your optic nerve without photons?" Okay, they ponder that. And I said, "Your subconscious is in a field that is greater than your physical proximity. And if you can displace a portion of your awareness and close your eyes the right way and look, you'll be able to see the imagery, and that's remote viewing." And the remote viewing technique that I used was developed by U.S. Army Special Forces with the help of a gifted natural psychic named Dr. Richard Ireland. And the first thing we do is close our eyes and look. Close mm-hmm. your eyes and look. And I told them, "You're not going to see a full color image the first time. It takes 6 months to a year to where you get to able to do that. But you will see in the graded, in the granular density of when you close your eyes." When you close your eyes, everybody can close their eyes right now, you don't see stark black. You see granular smears.
That's a very good description of it. Good.
It has a granular
solid color.
Density.
Yes, it's good. Granular density. I like that. That's good.
And smears. And so what I told them was, what you're going to do is you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to focus about where you would read a book. Like, you read a book about 18 inches away. And then you're going to look up at about a 60-degree angle. You're going to look up at an angle. So you close your eyes, focus there, and look up. And you're going to create a screen that we call Blackboard. And I had them do that. And I said, "You're going to train your subconscious to put the visuals there." And that's the first. Now, this is only the first step in my remote viewing method. This takes the whole process of writing on the paper and addressing it and doing it. It takes like 2 minutes. And a session takes hour and a half, and there's 600 things you've got to learn to do. But this is the first thing. So I said to them, okay, I held up a manila envelope with Korean letters and numbers on it, and I said, this is a picture of a place where there's an event, something, some person, something, some object, some event, and I want you to try to look at it. So I there's a whole ritual you go through with how you write something on your page, and then you write your name, and then you write page one, you draw a line a certain way, you write the target ID, you memorize the target ID, you write it again, and you look on Blackboard and you write the target ID on Blackboard, visualize it one letter at a time, and then I say, when I say go, you're going to look for 1.5 to 2 seconds, and you can't look any longer. And I go, ready, go. Stop. Immediately draw something. So we have some examples of what they did on the website. You want to go to those pictures?
Yeah, let's go right now. Look under Richard's name at guests.
Well, first, and you'll look at the first one. I forgot to tell you about the cherry blossoms. That's Mimi and me with the cherry blossoms. I thought cherry blossoms were in Japan, but they have a lot of cherry blossoms in Korea. They're all over, all up and down the freeway, all over the city.
I'm looking for the cherry blossom. I'm not seeing it. Hold
on. First picture on the left.
Okay, if we go to the RV class, it's a gallery, like we do with Harry Cooper. So open the gallery of the RV class, and it's picture number one on the left. Yeah, it's a very, very nice picture. Yeah.
So in the early
spring.
Look
at you. Look at you hanging around with young girls again. Look at that.
Look at the look of adoration on her face. What a beautiful. I'm so lucky, my wife. But all the trees are gray. Mm-hmm. There's no leaves on the trees. And no leaves have come out except the cherry blossoms. So these leaves, it's all just beautiful white. Right. So it's like still that trees. Black and white imagery of winter, but that's the first thing that comes out. But the cherry blossoms. Okay, so the next picture, that's the class. These are the guys. That's my
host,
Jin.
How many in the class?
I 20.
Okay. And who's who here? Just is there anybody in particular we should note?
Oh, that's my host in the orange sweatshirt, Jinwoo. The guy in the green shirt, I got his name written down. I forgot.
All right,
it.
Jinwoo. He's the guy who's into the woo-woo things because of his name. I get it.
Both those two guys sitting there did really well. And that girl in the back, she might be the next Hitomi. I might have to teach her. Okay. So I think there's another picture of them.
You didn't get my emails about her. Never mind.
In the pendant? Yeah, I did.
All right.
So there's
Picture number three.
I'm teaching them. I'm closing my eyes, telling them where to look, and I'm telling them how to do their page. And they're listening intently. Okay. So let's get to the first target here.
Oh, you did your whole little God's Eye Circle with the radiating lines out of the center of it. You explained
that,
too.
Well, actually, that was a... These people, Jeff, were so smart. I taught them the first thing, and they go, what's the face with the circle? How do you use that? They started asking me advanced. They'd seen all my work and all my sessions, and they knew who I was.
Neat.
They were very interested. They were very demanding, like, I teach them the first thing, like how to look on Blackboard, and they're going, but in the advanced stage six, stage four when you do this. So,
look at that beautiful, I don't like fluorescent lighting. Look at that very beautiful fluorescent light hanging down. I assume it's fluorescent.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's probably full spectrum, but look at the architecture of
the
that
shade.
Shade. All right, next picture, number four. And there's a happy girl. Explain that one. That's their Korean letter and number symbol that they got on the right. That's all they got. Go ahead.
And her name. Okay, I have her name. Her name is E-He-Ju.
No, it should be She-Ju-E.
So what
Never
she
mind.
Wrote.
What is around her neck, Richard? Real quick, what does the ring symbolize?
I didn't ask.
Oh, we used to do that here when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You wear your ring. Remember Elvis?
Yeah.
Won't you wear my ring around your neck?
So she has
tell
written
the world,
in the upper left-hand
I'm
corner,
yours by
wrote,
heck. Go ahead.
In the upper left-hand corner, she wrote ideogram. Then she wrote page one. Then she wrote her name, E-He-Ju. Then she wrote the target ID, which was a Korean letter, which is U. I know that one. Then 9, and there's another one I can't remember, 7. Mm-hmm. And that's all we told her. Just like, okay. And the target was Banzai Pipeline, the wave at Pipeline in Hawaii, which is a perfect wave. And that's what she drew. She drew the spiral.
Look at that. You must have been smiling. Oh, that's a big hit.
For 1.5 seconds, all you give her is the target ID. You go describe the target.
That's incredible.
5 seconds.
No, that's really amazing. Great work.
I was at that point, I go, I can hold that one up. You know, that's enough.
Yep. Very good.
And so the other guy, his name is Hyung Jin. That's the guy with glasses.
Yeah. Picture number 5.
And he actually said this is white up here.
Mm-hmm.
That's also really good. Jeff, either one of these, if I did that, I've been doing this 27 years, I'd be proud of either one of them.
Yeah, well, he got the curvature, and he got the coloration. He got the color white up in the... Oh, interesting. Yeah. Very good.
A picture is worth 1,000 words. That's, you know, a lot of remote viewers, Jeff, they don't try to get visual imagery. They just write mostly words like, oh, it's open and expansive, and it's, you know...
Well, these two are definitely on the right track. It takes so long to get them thoroughly trained, though. I don't know how you could do this.
Well, I know that there's something called the first timer's effect. So people, in spite of themselves, they will just do well the first time.
Got it. So they get themselves out of the way easier. They don't have to fight that. All right, I see what you're saying. Number 6.
He said his name was Ha Ha Ha. Which
come on.
No, there's no Korean name, ha ha ha, but he wrote ha ha ha.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Cool. That's if he wanted to be incognito. So the target was Lotte Tower, which is a famous skyscraper in Seoul. And he drew the shape. I mean, of all the things he could draw, he drew a tall building. He labeled it as a temple.
Question. The picture is in the envelope. The envelope has the 4 number letter sequence, whatever you use.
I said your target is 9751.
Did you know what the picture was? Yes. Could you have transmitted any keys to them? Because your knowledge of the picture and your mind is so well trained at very unusual and unorthodox techniques, shall we say. Could you have front-loaded them with your brain working? Is that something consider?
I did not say, you know, sometimes you see a building. I didn't give them any...
No, I know. But just thinking about it, because of who you are.
Yeah. I wanted them to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I put my full intent and all of my psychic oomph into... I'm a really good targeteer. People that work remote viewing, I'll brag, but the person that associates that number, 9751, with Lotte Tower, some people don't do that well. I know how to do it well because I've been remote viewing 27 years. I put enough time, energy. Before I went to Korea, I printed that out. I sat at my desk. I meditated on it. I affirmed in my consciousness and awareness that the target was Lotte Tower and that the target ID was 9751. Mm-hmm. And I made a pristine connection so that anyone with any awareness trying to close their eyes and see 9751, I made sure that that would be accessible to them. Got and it. I did that. Targeteering is a very, it's a specialized skill.
Mm-hmm. All right, picture number six.
If somebody went and found a picture of a palm tree on a building and said, "Hey, remote view this," I'm thinking of something. It wouldn't do well. It takes a rigorous protocol to do it. So
he's happy.
Yes.
He's a happy man. You can see the smile on his. He's happy. Yeah. You must have been happy, too. That's great.
Oh, yeah. So here's back to Our Lady, Ihi Ju.
Picture number seven. There she is again. Wow.
Now, let me tell you.
This is interesting. Yeah, I'm seeing what you're going to, I think what you're going to say or get an idea of it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, we usually don't give this away until about 1 year into your training.
Well, don't if it's not permissible. Don't.
Well, I'll do it. What the hell? When your subconscious gives you target imagery, it doesn't know how to do it. It's like a child. You have to train it over and over again by you look on blackboard, and then you draw something, and then you look at the feedback, and you resolve that and you self-correct. But we know there was a man in the 1800s that was testing psi ability named René Warcollier, and a visual he wrote a book about it. The visual will be what's called a Warcollier, where it will be disassembled and reassembled. And we know that if what they draw is a mirror image, if you split it down the middle and it's identical on either side, that that's from your subconscious, that your subconscious very often gives you a mirror image. So it's very advanced stuff, but this lady was getting good imagery from her subconscious. Yeah. So she was down at street level looking up the buildings. She made it a mirror image. That's a very good, what she did was exceptional. As a remote viewing instructor, I would look at that and go, sign her up.
Sure. Well, it's also like she got the street, she got the high rise on both sides, but the actual target object was represented by a circle, a sun. It wasn't, it's like she had everything but the big piece of the puzzle, but she had all the terrain right.
Yeah.
But there's no spire there.
But still, that was good. Okay.
That's great.
Now we'll go to the next one.
Look at her little fingers. You see what they're doing? That's odd.
Well, they're very feminine, Korean women. They're delicate.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time. People, as I remember as a kid, it was something you'd see occasionally. Anyway, but good job. Good job.
Okay.
Numeral 8. Now this is getting to be very heady. This is pretty sophisticated stuff too.
This guy's name. Oh man, I forget his name. Sorry. Well, his name is Sun. Okay. This is another Warcollier example. If you look at I gave him a crop circle so they could they like woo woo stuff. They had no idea it was going to be that. But if you look at the green picture, it's a field, and there are parallel lines in it, right?
Yeah. Those are furrows from the tractor wheels.
Yeah. And then there are several circles in the field. Well, he drew all those aspects. The circles are there and the furrows.
Fascinating.
of all the things. Yeah. That's what we look for. At the first 2 seconds of a remote viewing session, he could resolve that into really, really good.
That's very good.
And then the last guy is...
Picture number 9.
I forget his name, the young guy. Look what he drew for the crop circle. That's very good. I mean, to look for one...
You look at
a crop circle for 1 second and then draw it. And
he had everything but the skill saw blade.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, that would have been, you know, later on in the session. So.
Wow. That's a circle I haven't seen before. That's a very interesting one.
That was.
Are they still coming down over there often? Dick, do you know? I don't know. I haven't followed it for a while.
I haven't either.
All right.
And then the next page is something.
Did you ever remote view a circle as to who did it?
I didn't, but one of our remote viewers, it's one of the most famous sessions ever. It was so detailed, and we gave it to a crop circle researcher.
Yeah.
And her name was Valtra Jensen. It's on the HRVG website. Next time I come on the program, I'll show it to you. It was, I tasked it, and it was unbelievable. It was, okay, and the last
Who do we think made them? Did you get anything on that?
Oh, yeah. She had an energy from a disc.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That'd be my take on it. Okay, good. Good job. Okay. Last picture.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we did monthly events in March.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw a baseball field with a player down, real serious, like, oh, this is going to be really bad. I said, there's a horrific scene, a serious injury, a player's down, there's a crash cart. The fans stand and applaud as they take him off to the ambulance. And so I was sitting on the couch with Mimi last night, and I thought, Sunday Night Baseball's on. I need to watch that. So I flipped the channel to the ESPN national broadcast.
Yeah.
And a player had a collision. He was down. They brought out the crash cart. It was exactly what I'd seen. And that doesn't happen that often.
No, that's pretty strange. He's in the hospital.
I wish him well.
Concussion.
Okay. So because of my remote viewing, Jeff, I have a good source that tells me how the world works. And with the Pope dying, let me tell you where the Pope stands in the... Do you want me to just tell it to you, or do you want to play the YouTube? We got, what, 10 minutes left?
No, we got 6.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Well, we only the have... Pope, how long is the video?
I think it's nine minutes.
Yeah, it's too long.
So. The Pope is the highest. It'll be better with you and me discussing it, so more personal. The Pope is the highest authority on earth. It's the highest human authority.
I have to ask you, please, I have to ask you this. Is that a ceremonial ranking, or is that Bergoglio from Argentina really that powerful? I've done many programs on this.
But
yeah, I've done many programs on this with Father Kramer from Ireland. Yeah. Anyway, he'll be on tomorrow night. We're going to talk about this.
Well,
go ahead.
Play that segment for him and ask him about that. That would be interesting.
All right.
Play my segment for him. But okay, when people say, "Oh, the president, the most powerful man on earth," not even close. In the rankings of authority of guiding what happens to Earth, it's Pope, and below the Pope is the Archbishop Metropolites and Archbishops. So Archbishops are much higher than a president, have more power. Below that is crowned monarchs. That would be like King Charles, a monarch that has been coronated. Below that is cardinals in the Catholic Church. Next would be grand masters, masters, imperators, which we're talking high-ranking Freemasons, high-ranking officials in royal orders
Okay, now this is excuse me again, this is a global power matrix. This is not just something that's partial this, partial that. This is it. This is the globalist hierarchy. Is that what we're to think?
Yeah. And then next would be viceroys. And viceroys, crowned monarchs, own the land. Like the United States and Canada are owned by the royal family. They at the end of the revolution, the Pope allowed the crown monarchs, the Pope allowed the colonies and the New World, United mm-hmm. States and Canada, to mm-hmm. become self-governing in terms of democracy, but they're still owned by the Vatican and the crowned monarchs. So you need a viceroy who implements policy on behalf of the crowned monarchs. And do you know who the viceroy of the United States was from the early 70s, the late 60s, until just about 2 years ago? Was Henry Kissinger. He was the viceroy.
That's a term you don't hear used often. The last time I heard it was when there was a brand of cigarettes called Viceroys.
Yeah. Well, Henry Kissinger was a viceroy. I don't know who the new one is. It might be Jared Kushner. I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So, you know, that bloodline is in the... I don't want to get into that. Next, we have presidents and prime ministers. And presidents and prime ministers, this is the first thing I was taught in my education of how the world works. Presidents and prime ministers are the bastard children of monarchs, crowned monarchs. They actually have the order of the bath, where they actually have sex to impregnate. So everyone, have we told you who Hitler's father was?
No.
And we'll get into that later. But let me tell you that the and Obama's grandfather, that's a whole other show. I don't want to get into that. But presidents and prime ministers are the illegitimate bloodline. But they keep it all in the family. Jeff, it's all in the family. It all mm-hmm. has contracts, covenants mm-hmm. that go back millennia. They go back thousands of years. The earth is it's like a experiment. It's like a game show. They run it and they harvest us and harvest our energy. Mm-hmm. Next time I'll get into trade and what trade is really about and what's happening with the ultimate thing they're going to be trading is birth certificate value. And Trump's trying to make it so that we don't have to pay in blood, because the United States is bankrupt. It's $37 trillion in debt.
To whom?
Well, to bankers and the royal families and the people who print the money and other countries, China, Japan. Here's one for you. Why do you suppose there are so many Chinese going to school in America? What benefit is that? Because the value of your birth certificate, if you're uneducated, is a certain amount. But the value of your birth certificate with a high-level degree from an American university goes up like at least double. So if you have 350,000 Chinese students, the value of those Chinese birth certificates increases like $10 million each. And that's a lot of money. And that's part of the debt that we're paying off our debt to China by educating. The whole thing's a business, Jeff. The whole thing is just a business. It's all commercial law. The U.S. is a corporation.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, it goes back to you know, our friend Jordan Maxwell, whose life you saved and helped out. And so anyway, the Korean students, Korea is an amazing place, Jeff. It is, there are no overweight people. I didn't see any people with tattoos. I didn't see homeless. It's beautiful, slender, intelligent, healthy people.
Well, congratulations on the class with those young men and a couple women, whatever. They did really well. I'm sure they're fascinated by what they did do.
I think I will probably follow up with them and try to teach them some more if I have time and energy. But it's really difficult when you're, you know, to these concepts in a foreign language.
Yeah.
Subconscious awareness, displace, you know, ideogram.
No, I couldn't even imagine it. Okay, the Pope, top, number one. With all the programs I've done with Father Kramer about this Pope from Argentina, Bergoglio, and what they did to Benedict XVI by locking him up, overthrowing him for the last 9 years of his life. That's a drama, too, right there. It's all very interesting. This video with Dick will be up on the top of the headlines and on his left side columnist section tonight as well. You'll be able to see it. It's a 5.5-minute video. Very interesting. I'd like to know more about this by way of confirmation that the Vatican is actually still that powerful. I'm sure it's powerful, but that guy was a clown. He was put in there to tear the church down, according to many people.
Jeff, there's a bigger picture. We're going into a new financial system. We're going into a new system of administering the human race. This is not needed. It will not be done
I get
by...
That. Yeah, I get that.
It's going to be done by distributed ledger technology and computers.
Right.
You're going to have your own blockchain. Okay, real fast, because I know you got to go. When I left Korea...